Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, I would imagine a little hungover from his birthday. I would imagine you just got stinky faced, right? All right.
Oh, I had a loaded baked potato. And,
you did?
That was it.
A loaded baked potato. Wow.
Yeah.
How's mom doing?
Not great.
No.
No.
That's
not going to be great, but that's okay. I got to spend a lot of time with her, talk to her yesterday, so she doesn't do a whole lot of talking back, but she does. I asked her to open her eyes, and she opened her eyes, so she can still hear. So
that's great.
It's a sad situation, but at the same time, I'm glad I made the trip, and I'm glad I spent my birthday with her. So,
yeah.
So it was not my best birthday, but it was an important birthday, and no drinks. I did ask at the hospice. I did ask this nurse. Said, "Can I get you anything to drink?" I said, "Gin and tonic would be great."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, we don't." I said, "I'm joking." It's okay. She started laughing. She's like, "If I could, I would." I said, "I know you would."
Yep.
I guess I'll just take Crystal Light then.
I guess they're like that, you know. I mean, I just feel like everywhere should.
I know you feel like every place should have a full bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know how you are.
I don't get.
But don't
that.
Worry. I'm going to make up for it. Listen. Yes, I didn't really do my birthday yesterday, but there's still Friday and Saturday. So.
Yeah.
I better do it Saturday before the Sunday freeze comes in.
Play Monopoly or Parcheesi with the kids. You have a big day.
You know, we were actually going to go to New York this weekend, and then I looked at the weather like, holy crap, man.
No,
when we're there, it's like 17 and 16 degrees. Then yesterday, I swear to you, you're the one that told me about the weather yesterday. I had no idea. Had to immediately, after we were done, cancel all the plans because what I'm going to do? Leave the kids where I mean, they're not really kids anymore, but leave them for any amount of time when a grid could go down. They can barely survive when everything's perfect.
Yeah, that is true.
When the weather's perfect and everything is absolutely perfect, I can barely keep them from trying to choke each other out.
That is true. I can't imagine if there was no heat.
Grids down.
No internet.
Grids down. It's iced up. We can't make it back. No. Everything should be fine. It'll be just like, who is it, Piggy? It's a Lord of the Flies. It'll just be like Lord of the Flies, and snacks will have people's heads on poles.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I suggested you play games with them, but I've played games with your family before.
It's not great.
It turns into...
No. They're great to play games with if you go. We learned that after Christmas. We went to a party. My wife's aunt, she like has all the cousins, a bunch of cousins come over and family, and they play all these games, and it's fun. And our kids had so much fun. It's just with us they don't like to play.
Right.
It's with us they do all the fighting. It's with us they try to ruin everything.
That's true. Well, you would be involved. So you would be involved. So there. So yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, happy birthday. And here's to you. Here's to your mom. Here's to your mom.
Yeah. Nah, she's awesome.
Yeah. Let's talk big day yesterday with Nick Caserio breaking down the season. And the one that got me was Nick Caserio talking about the turnovers. And, you know, there's a couple of different ones. Joe Mixon, he talked about the offensive line. He talked about CJ. So the ones, the two.
I found out nothing's wrong. I found out nothing's wrong.
No, they're all. It's all good. It's all good.
They just need to execute, and everything's fine. Like, they're loaded with talent, and they just need to execute, and everything's going to be fine. That's what I found out. I came away from that realizing, wow, I thought there were some things that need to be addressed. I don't even know why we have a draft this year. For what?
Well, we'll talk about the draft, because they've got plenty of capital. So we got a lot to talk about this morning, and it'll deal mostly with the Texans. But here's Nick Caserio on the game. And why they lost that football game on Sunday.
We had a good enough team to win any game we played. In the end, we didn't execute well enough. You can't turn the ball over five times in a divisional playoff round. I mean, taking care of the football is the single most important stat correlated to winning. I mean, look it up. It's the truth. If you don't turn the ball over, you enhance your chances of winning. It's 85-90%. I mean, so that's the most important stat. Turnovers, taking care of the football, like, look around the league. So, in the end, we had a good enough team to beat anybody. We played with every team in the league. There's more room in front of us. And in the end, if we execute better, we'll still be playing. I mean, I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but that's the truth.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I mean, that is the truth.
Yes, that's the truth. No, he did not lie there. Nick Caserio did not lie there. Not... If they don't turn over the football, they probably win that football game. Yep. I mean, certainly one score you take away because it was a pick six, and then all the other. The defense didn't give up anything on the turnovers. They shut them down. They just shut them down after the turnovers. That was nice. The defense stepped up, but the field position. And everything. How about holding on to the football and maybe driving down the field? That would be nice. That would be really nice. But where did those turnovers come from? They came from CJ.
Well, I mean, in
for the
theory,
most part,
right? I think it mostly came. What I'm finding out is the center was the biggest problem.
Well, he couldn't.
I'm finding out if you dig around. Well, you don't have to dig around; it'll just come to you if you look long enough. There's new people who were actually to blame instead of the quarterback. And one of them was the center. He has got to go. He is a massive problem, I found out. Andrews, like, what?
Apparently he was playing on one leg or, yeah.
All right. I he was hurt, I guess the Texans playing him caused them to lose. Because you can't possibly – how is CJ not going to turn the ball over with the center that's playing through pain?
No,
it's impossible. It's impossible to not turn it over eight times in the postseason. Impossible.
The one that wasn't a turnover was the one that CJ wasn't ready for. Two of them, all right? CJ just dropped the balls on the other one. So
yeah,
only one hit him in the chest when he wasn't expecting.
Yeah, but that's one game. Don't forget the New England game where. Jake's
That's what I
know.
I'm talking
about that caused him to throw that interception and went for a pick six.
Well, right. No, I'm – yeah.
So, somehow.
No. Somehow. Yeah, right. The Pittsburgh, yeah, then the New England. Right.
Yeah, New England also, Jake was a massive – like I said, I just found this out yesterday, so I'm kind of still processing his role in this demise.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. Here is Caserio. Now, so CJ played poorly. He's not gonna mince words. CJ played poorly in the postseason. But let's not put too much on CJ's playoffs because we've got a bigger body of work.
Yeah, look, if we want to go game by game, like, we don't win a Kansas City game without CJ Stroud. I mean, so again, like, that's one game, all right? Look, he'll be the first to tell you he didn't play well on Sunday, all right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you he played well either. Like, he knows that. So in the end, all right. Got to learn from it. What can we do better? All right. And then we're moving forward. All right. I mean, see, look at his body of work. This guy's been a damn good quarterback in this league for 3 years. I mean, it's the truth. So, again, you wanted to look at everything in totality, and then every player will look at their situation. And it's always case by case.
Mm-hmm.
Damn good quarterback is obviously a reach. But I get what he's doing there. You know, his job is is we as fans slash media slash analysts or whatever, you know, whatever role we're in, we're going to look at things a certain way. And whether it's emotional or whatever, I think we're looking at things logically. I mean, we have an emotional response, but I think our discussions are pretty logical, to be honest with you. I don't think we're unfair. His job is, this is what he's got. And I had a guy in the NFL one time tell me, well, actually, Dennis Lindsay told me this with the Rockets one time, and it really resonated. He said, once you have someone in your building, and his talk, it was about the fact that I think he didn't want Rhodes. Remember the guy Rhodes from USC was his name?
He was fast.
No, that's Michael Dickerson you're thinking of.
Fastest
man on the planet. For some reason, that always came up how fast he was. No, it was Roderick Rhodes. Yeah. He was a draft pick in the late 90s for the Rockets. And Dennis and I talked, and, you know, I knew he didn't love so this was way back before he had, you know, and I knew he didn't love Roderick Rhodes. It wouldn't have been his pick. Rudy Tomjanovich used to give everybody an opinion. There was like six guys. What do you think about this guy? And who do you think about? And you got to have your say. That was your say. But Dennis said once, and this wasn't until after Roderick was gone that he told me, and you know, I just didn't like. And I said, but you never talked about that. He goes, yeah, I'm not going to. Once we make an internal decision that a guy is our guy, we all get on board. He said, you got to get on board because he's yours now. It can't be about, well, I didn't want him. You know, the thing that the Bills did yesterday.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't do that. And so I'm not saying it's the same thing with Nick Caserio here, but what I'm saying is once somebody's in the building, until they're not in the building, they're your guy. And outwardly, you have to defend them and protect them and do everything you can, especially CJ. I mean, he's a quarterback. So I don't know. I mean, we can spend a lot of time talking about this, but what sucks is CJ can't do anything about it until September of next year.
Yep. Well, there may be some. Okay, so.
Well, Ryan Fitz... is he in the Pro Bowl?
No.
No.
No, he's not in the Pro Bowl.
I was going to say maybe he could do something.
He plays some damn good football.
no, he's had his moments.
Yeah, he did. So, but listen to. I didn't. Is this thing, we just keep assuming, well, you just bring CJ back and everything is going to, you know, and then you see, you wait. Obviously, this offseason, you pick up the fifth-year option and everything's just going to be fine. Maybe we'll play this whole thing out. Maybe they'll franchise him. Ryan Fitzpatrick says, wait a minute. Hold on, brother, because it may not work out that way. Here's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's on, he and Andrew Whitworth do a podcast together. Here's Ryan Fitzpatrick talking about the Stroud situation.
If you're CJ Stroud's agent, you're going in there and saying, look, all the other big time quarterbacks, they got paid after their third year, and we want $60 million a year. I just think that the people in that building that are around him every day, CJ Stroud, they're the ones that are going to have to make a decision on this guy. Is this guy we want leading our building? Who knows what CJ Stroud does? I mean, if they don't give him the contract, is he going to sit and wait and say, guys, I'm not showing up until you pay me? Because that's probably the advice that his agent is going to give him. And so you look at their year overall, Davis Mills steps in, does a great job, placeholder for CJ when he was out with a concussion for those weeks. Did it feel like it was a huge drop off when Davis Mills was in?
No.
I just think that this is one to keep an eye on because I think it could get ugly this offseason. But if you have hesitations about CJ being the face of your franchise, this is me not knowing anything. I think there's a chance maybe you trade him this offseason.
All right. I'm telling you, what he said was exactly the scenario I've been laying out for a while now, And it's because David Mulligetta does not, I'm telling you, he doesn't care what this idea that somehow, well, now CJ's price has really dropped. No, it hasn't.
No.
I'm telling you. David Mulligetta is keeping the number is the number, and he's not going to move off of it, and he's not afraid to make it uncomfortable. And that's why I think that I truly believe that if CJ Stroud gets a big extension through the despite not playing well, and if he gets it through no fault of his own, you know, that's just the way it works, and doesn't play well, he will be the most reviled athlete in the history of Houston. And I say that from somebody who's – and, John, you've been here long enough to know the same thing. I've been here my whole life. You've been here a huge chunk of time to see all the major things play out. I'm telling you now, if you don't play well in the postseason in this city, it's remembered. If you don't show a certain level of toughness, it is in consideration for people. And if you make things difficult for the organization, then you get paid, and then you don't do anything like Deshaun Watson, it comes back to get you. And I don't think the Texans can afford anything contentious. I don't think CJ Stroud can afford anything contentious with this organization.
It's
not the
bad,
way he's been playing.
No, it's the timing could not be worse for this contract and him to many demands. And it
can't make
worse.
An extension now.
It couldn't be worse for the organization to make a long-term commitment to him. It couldn't be worse to try to trade him. What's his value right now? Especially when he's got when the agents demanded 60 million. If he's demanding 60 million a year,
it's hard.
What
it's
team
not, it's not
is
going to
go? I can't wait to get CJ for 60 million. The Texans might have to give up draft picks to get
60 million.
To get rid of him. I mean,
John, it'd be a 5-year deal, $300 million,
yes.
And it'd probably be $240 million guaranteed. So it'd be like a $240 million.
Well, who's paying that and giving you anything for him?
So if you decide to do it, that's the key. If you decided to do that, you're taking on so much financial responsibility. You are not. There's a sliding scale. So once you raise the scale for the amount you have to pay, you lower the scale on compensation.
Right.
I don't even know that you get a first.
No.
I'm being honest with you. I think you get a second and a fourth that maybe can become a third. But teams are not giving away draft capital when they're no longer on a rookie deal. Why would they do that? They can't do that. They would get him for a rookie deal for a year. But, you know, from the totality of the contract, why in the world you have to have your draft picks to surround a $60 million quarterback because you're not on rookie contract
the
anymore.
The Texans already have done that. They got rid of a quarterback that was overpaid, and it cost them draft compensation to Cleveland. They had to give up a second rounder to get rid of Brock Osweiler, right? They gave Cleveland a pick to get rid of Brock Osweiler. So, listen, the Texans cannot trade. There is zero chance they can trade him right now. There is zero chance. Who's going to pick up a $60 million demand for C.J. Stroud right now? That's impossible. That is impossible to happen. No team would do that right now. Can you imagine being the general manager of a team that went and got C.J. Stroud right now and traded away picks for him? No.
Oh my God, you're taking such a risk.
Oh, you think? All right, we got a break.
Such a risk. You know who you would hope for? You'd hope the Jets, that they would give you a one. But CJ in New York seems like an absolute disaster.
Lance,
and he doesn't want to play in cold weather.
No, have you lost your mind giving up a one right now and paying him 60 and paying him
money? I'm just saying, yeah. I want it.
No.
I want a first.
I'd prefer it if
you gave me a first.
You ain't getting that. You got to talk about. What's the higher and lower right now on this deal?
I say higher on interceptions. I would go higher on interceptions there. I actually took a look at the higher and lower. I'm still going lower on it. Jarrett Stidham's yardage. So playoffs. You know, we got playoffs coming up. Unfortunately, we're not gonna be in it. But we're gonna watch, and some of us will. I'm watching. And Jarrett Stidham is like 191.5. That's his passing yards. I'm going to go lower on there. I'm going lower on touchdown passes for Drake May, lower than 1.5 touchdown passes. I think that's a lower. I'm going to go higher on rushing yards for RJ Harvey in that one. So there's three right there that I'm taking a look at. What I'm talking about is Underdog Fantasy. You guys have heard me talk about it. You download the app, use promo code Lance on your first $5 play. Well, you make your first deposit, and then you unlock $75 in bonus entries after you make your first $5 play. But it's really simple. You just look at all these different stats they have available for all of the, you know, for a ton of players. And then you just find ones that you like. And so kind of analyze the game. How do you think it's going? I think Sean Payton's going to manage this game, and I think they're going to run the football, and they're going to try to eat the clock and play good defense. And so a lot of the stats are going to be lower. So I'm looking at lower in that one than the Seattle Rams game. I think the third time they play, they know each other. I think that game starts – I think there's higher with some of the statistics in that one. You piece – those different players together, the more you pick that hit their higher and lower, the higher your payout is. It's all completely legal in the state of Texas. Real money. You can pull it out whenever you need. You get it very quickly. It's Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code Lance. That's Underdog Fantasy. Download today. Use promo code Lance on your first deposit.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playandgetterms_DFS_HTML for details. Consumer with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back here on 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you've got thoughts, we've got a lot more to talk about what Nick Caserio had to say yesterday. We will continue to do that. We've got some Rockets talk as well. We got that Bills situation that Lance alluded to a little bit earlier. We got a lot to do. We got a lot to do here this morning, but we have callers here on the show. Spencer is first up this morning here. Hi, Spencer. How you doing?
Hey, guys. I just want to echo one thing that y'all said a couple minutes ago about Stroud. I think John said it. You know, if you're a GM of another team, trading for C.J. Stroud, giving up a lot of draft capital, it's going to get you fired. And, you know, and the reason is, I'm sure he's a good kid, but, you know, ever since he was drafted, Lance has talked about it, other people have talked about it, you know, it sounds like he's not a very coachable player, doesn't take all the coaching. You know, Bobby Sloak went from the next head coach to a lot of the NFL to getting fired because he didn't do well with CJ, and Stroud has gotten worse 3 years in a row, and this is not going to end well. And so the Texans need to decide how that's going to end, because if they give him a giant contract, then we're going to be looking at a Kyler Murray to a Tagovailoa situation or something like that. And, you know, I don't expect Caserio or anyone else to bash him publicly, but, you know, I just get the sense that everybody's afraid to tell him that he sucks and tell him that he needs to play better. And he seems completely unaware. I mean, after the Pittsburgh game, somebody asked him how he thought he played, and his only answer should have been, "I played like crap, thank God for this defense." Instead, his response was, "I played really well." You know, and then after the New England game, which is one of the worst playoff games I've ever seen from a quarterback, you know, his comment was like, "Yeah, I need to remember I don't need to be Superman every play." And I'm like, what are you talking about? You've never been Superman, dude. Just don't turn the ball over. And so, you know, going into next season, I'd rather have Davis Mills. I'd rather have Joe Flacco. I'd rather have Kirk Cousins.
Wait, what? That's all, Spencer. That's all. That's it. Cut Spencer off now. He's drunk. He got
drunk. You went too far.
He got drunk midway through the call.
You went too far.
He didn't go too far, Joe Flacco.
No, he's taking his cues from Lance. Lance said he'd rather have Mac Jones.
Well, Mac Jones. I'd rather have Mac Jones than Joe Flacco.
Well, Joe Flacco.
Joe had a good game against the Browns one time.
Probably wouldn't turn the ball over as much.
Joe Flacco.
Well, all those guys wouldn't turn the ball over. What I want to know is, can somebody competently run an offense to the? I mean, look, Mac Jones is one thing. Could Mac Jones win when everyone's playing? Well, I think the Chiefs are fundamentally different. So who's the next team up? Like, who are the big teams coming up? Well, I mean, the Chargers are going to be a lot better next year when they have tackles, when they have starting tackles. You can't win without starting tackles. That's just – well, and without backups. When you're on your third – when you're on your fifth and sixth tackle, you're not going to win. They're going to be better next year. I don't know that the Raiders are better anytime soon. I would say Denver is obviously still – and Jacksonville may still be on the come up in the division. That's what we have to ride with. Steelers are down. Bengals, I don't know. You know, the more I think about it, wow, this is kind of the AFC could be in a real big transition right now. You know, what's going on with the Bengals? Joe Burrow doesn't seem to love football anymore. He definitely doesn't like not making the playoffs over the last 5 years. You got Lamar Jackson and the Ravens appear to be in disarray. The Steelers are a mess. The Browns stink. Over there, you know, I don't know what the Dolphins are going to end up doing at quarterback. They got a new regime. You've got the Bills can't win the big game. The Jets are terrible. Who am I missing over there? Who am in the East? Who's the other team? Bills, Jets,
Patriots,
Dolphins. Oh yeah, Patriots are a problem. And then in the West, I don't know that it changes at all for the Raiders anytime soon. You got the Broncos.
The Chiefs look like they're headed south, and then you've got obviously.
I don't know. I'm not gonna give up on the Chiefs just yet. Just yet.
I mean,
They still got that guy,
and that's true. I think that it is. They have, unfortunately, like with Tom Brady, they've been tied very closely with their quarterback tight end relationship. Yeah. When those two guys are really good, they're really good. When the tight end's not as good or not on the field, they're not. It's amazing how much of a drop off you see.
Yeah. Well, to that point, Kelce was there though.
But I'm saying he's not good.
Yeah, he wasn't.
His play has fallen off, and they've fallen off. And you know what? How long is Andy Reid like? Are you sure that the Kelce, Mahomes, everything stays the same if Andy Reid isn't still the coach?
I don't know how long he has. Yeah. No, that is true. There's no question about that. Yeah, he had 76 receptions for 851 yards. But he only had 823 the year before, 984 the year before that. I mean, he had seven straight years. He had five, which was more than he had in 24. He had five. He had three. He had five the year before. So, I mean, he's been playing. He actually has just been playing like this for a while. I mean, this is 3 years.
Yeah, it felt like he had less of an impact. Maybe it's because they didn't win as much, but
yeah.
It felt like he had less of an impact this year. But this is why people are so. This is what kind of hurts about the Texans situation and why we're a little bit pissy about everything. Because when has it ever been this good for a team in the AFC to have a dominant defense? Like, man, if you could get above average quarterback play, you got a chance to rule the roost.
How
in
about
the AFC.
Just average quarterback play? Just
yeah, even play. Average quarterback play. That's why I'm throwing the. No one could be more average than Mac Jones. No one could be more average. But I'm trying to. I don't want Flacco. I don't want Kirk Cousins. Mac Jones. The only reason I mention him is because he
did a nice job this year. Yeah.
He did a nice job with San Francisco. He is kind of what you see is what you get. I know what I'm getting with Mac Jones. It ain't gonna be too high. It's not gonna be too low. I just don't. If we're gonna ride with the defense, then to me, just I don't need CJ to be a 50 mil. I don't need him to be a hero. I just need him to steer the ship. That's all. Just steer the ship.
Right. He's not. He just said he's not. CJ said, "I don't have to be Superman anymore." He said that. He's just learning not to be Superman. That was the problem.
He's playing complimentary football.
He was trying. He's learning how not, because he's been Superman his whole career. He's got a cape on.
Superman. Sean and I talked about that maybe on Monday. All the Ohio State guys who get drafted. Superman. I don't know if you've heard. We were a factory. I don't know if you've heard about, Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Buka, all the guys he got to throw to. I don't know if you've heard about us, but you didn't have to be Superman. In fact, sometimes you just got to be a bus driver. Just, hey, let us do the work. And even the Ohio State defenders were probably like, excuse me? What do you mean we weren't a team that was complete? We're Ohio State. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they were right. Never mind. Let's catch up here. 703-780-3776. You got some thoughts on this? We got more Casario sound. We got to figure out the Joe Mixon thing. We got a lot of stuff to do. Nick Cayley, he talked about that. Offensive line play, wide receivers, all of that. We got a lot of stuff to do this morning here after the Nick Casario press conference yesterday. Right now, I'm talking about the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. I'm talking about how you can just have so much fun, so great. If you love casinos, if you like to gamble, you want to get your gamble on. How expensive is it to go all the way to Vegas with the air flight? Yeah, I don't know how many people you're taking. You and your wife, the plane tickets. It's what, $800 each, maybe more. I don't know. Depending on how you fly, it could be a lot more if you're flying first class. How about just driving 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road from downtown Houston and being at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles? Not the 7 hours it takes you to get to Vegas. Not the thousands of dollars if you're flying to go to Las Vegas. Just gas money down I-10 with the casino, with the golf course, with the pool, with the everything, the restaurants, the nightclubs, all of it. I mean, you might as well be in Vegas, only it's so much easier and so much more convenient right here, right there in Lake Charles. I love it. I hope you do too. If you want to get there and watch the Super Bowl or you want to watch the NCAA tournament, make your reservation because you're not getting in the DraftKings Sportsbook. GoldenNuggetLC.com. GoldenNuggetLC.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we've been talking Texans and continue to do so. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I still don't know what's up with Joe Mixon after the press conference. Asked directly, what's the deal with Joe Mixon? What the hell happened? Where is he? What's he doing? Why wasn't he around? Did he fall off of a truck? Was he snow skiing? Was he riding a motorcycle? We've had all kinds. Did he fall downstairs? We've had all kinds of, where is, what happened to Joe Mixon? Nobody's seen him. Now, when we were asking about Joe Mixon during the season, we don't care about Joe Mixon. We just care about our fantasy football team. That's why. So I want the organization to know that I care about Joe Mixon. I care about Joe Mixon, and I want to know what happened to him, but Nick Caserio won't tell me.
Yeah, no, I would say he didn't do anything off the field. It wasn't like he was riding like a snowmobile or anything like that. I'd say it was just more of a medical condition or situation that just it really didn't improve maybe as much as everybody would have hoped. I mean, I'm not trying to like evade the question. I think that's the reality of the situation. So like he didn't jump off a building, like he wasn't cliff diving or anything like that. He wasn't doing anything irresponsible. It was a freak thing. Honestly, I'd never seen it. You know, just the condition.
Hope that situation will improve before next summer.
We'll see. I mean, believe me, I'm not smart enough to be a doctor, so I mean, I'll leave that up to the medical experts. And you know, once we, going back to some of the earlier questions, we get a little bit more clarity, more information, then we'll kind of see where we are moving forward.
He addressed basically two rumors. What was the freak thing?
You know what the two rumors are. The two rumors are: one was he was riding an ATV, and he had some ATV accident, all-terrain vehicle accident, which is the snowboard, you know, what he basically, he didn't do that, or he's riding a snowboard or something. He didn't do something irresponsible. That's a reference to him shooting himself in the, literally shooting himself in the foot, and there's a bullet lodge in there. Did damage, nerve damage. He basically addressed those two things without mentioning exactly what they were. He's heard those rumors, so he said he didn't do something irresponsible, which would be shooting himself in the foot, that's one rumor, and he didn't want driving a snowmobile or something like that. That would be the ATV thing. So those are he addressed those two rumors right there. Is he telling the truth? You know, I don't know, but I have to take him at his word and assume he is. So if there's a medical condition that hasn't healed in well over a year, I would say the odds of it healing are very low. I would not expect Joe Mixon. And in fact, you need Joe Mixon's money to go out there and, you know, start making moves on Will Anderson's contract.
Did he in any way? He didn't say that Joe Mixon is done. But did he say Joe Mixon's done? I mean, I don't know.
He didn't say that. But
it just feels like it's time. Let's just move on. Just move on. You can't wait.
Yeah, you had a good year with Joe. Joe's getting older anyway, and. Hmm. You missed a whole year. Like, he didn't play a whole year, and it's been cryptic the whole year. This has been a cryptic situation the whole year. It hasn't been good. Why? And you're going to go into next year. This is a guy who couldn't get healthy well over a year, and you're going to, like, why would you even go in with thinking that you're going to depend on him? That's like, you know, I guess depending on McCullers. The Astros keep doing that and keep running into problems, although McCullers eventually makes it back after a year or two. I don't know that Joe Mixon makes it back, and even if he does, I mean, at that cap number, for what?
We talked about the free agents out there, running backs. Breece Hall is one of them. Travis Etienne.
He's going to cost you money.
Yeah, they're all
going to cost you money. They're all going to cost you money. But, you know, yeah, but, you know, for how much, though? $5 to $8 million? Yeah. I mean, the running back thing doesn't cost you an arm and a leg anymore, so – you might be able to go bargain hunting there if you want somebody right now. You could also say, we like Woody and we're going to draft a running back this year. You know, you could do that and really go cheaper at running back.
Right. I mean, I think they hit on Woody.
Yeah, I did. I know, but they got to have a second back.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb can't be that.
No.
Or they got to have Woody as the second back and have, you know, a quote-unquote primary, which would be Javonte Williams, who, frankly, you can split time between Javonte and Woody Marks, no problem.
Well, Nick Chubb is still under contract next year.
Yeah,
well, I don't know.
Theoretically.
I don't know what it would cost you to get rid of him, but
Nick is under contract?
I'm pretty sure. I don't see him in the free agent. No. I'm pretty sure he's still – I got that somewhere, but I don't think Nick Chubb was on the list. Free agents.
Yeah, he may not be. He may not be. He signed a 1 year, $2.5 million deal, is what his contract was. That's it. So he is a free agent.
In June 2025, yeah. It can grow to $5 million, making up a guaranteed free agent in 26. Okay, yeah. Well, so you're done with that.
No, so
$2.5 million. Yeah. You got that $2.5 million, plus Dare's a free agent as well. I don't know that you bring Dare back. He was 1.8. So, I mean, you got a little money to play with at the running back position, and you're right. They just don't cost as much. Now, if you got Breece Hall or somebody like that, it's going to be.
Now, I'm looking at Breece. So, Breece, I'm seeing if they have his, you know how they sometime will do his evaluation for a guy, what they think he's worth? I'll see if I can find that on Breece Hall, because his cap hit last year was $4.3 million. I'm curious what they would value him at.
We went through the list of guys. Yeah, Nick Chubb is there on the list. That's my bad.
Market value Okay, so over the SpotTrack has him at $10.4 million average annual salary is what they think. 4 year, $41 million deal is what it would cost for him. That's
wow.
That more than you want to pay?
That's more than I want to pay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. What about Javonte Williams? What would you want to pay there?
Short term? It'll be a short term deal, maybe.
His market value is 7.3 is his market value.
I want to pay him 6.
You know, that's their estimation. Right. That's their estimation.
I want to pay him 6. What about Etienne?
Good Lord. Wow, DeAndre's. Oh, Etienne? Oh, I don't think Etienne. You think he'll be higher or lower than 7.3?
I think he'll be higher than.
Than Chubb.
Than Javonte.
I think so too. Let's see. His market value, and they got a good player behind him and Bashaul Tutten. He's a good one. Are you sure? Wait. Hold on a second. Are you sure he's a free agent? Yeah,
yep.
Mate. Oh, no, I got the wrong Etienne. I got Trevor. What's his name?
Travis.
Yeah, I got his brother. And I was like, what? Travis Etienne's market value is currently, according to SpotTrack, in the world that we live in, $6.8 million. They got him lower.
Hmm.
As had an Achilles injury in his background when he was in college. So
I'd take him for 6. You know what, Alex? I want Travis Etienne for 6.
Yeah,
million.
I would too.
Yeah,
I would too, because he's a two-way. He's a three-down player also.
Yep.
So, I would take him.
We got a little offensive line talk on the other side, what Lance referred to.
That's
the
good
center
stuff.
Is just he killed you. The center just killed you. That's
the real GOAT. I mean, that's the real – that's the guy who was the real, who was the real problem.
Yeah.
It's time we finally started telling the truth on this.
All right, here's the deal. Is if you've got a problem with your glass provider, I've got a glass provider for you that's got an impeccable reputation, and that's Bluebonnet Glass. Bluebonnet Glass has been doing it for 75 years. 75 years, okay? When you're in the business for 75 years, you do something right. I'm looking at pictures on their website. It is just beautiful. You know those wine rooms with the glass in front, and you see all the wine bottles. You restaurants, you want it to look fantastic. call Bluebonnet Glass. They will customize a wine room, glass wine room for you. Any commercial glass, shower glass, railing, stair railing glass, mirrors, anything that you're looking for. No job too big. Apartments, skyscrapers, commercial buildings, houses, no job too big or too small. I am looking at, and you want to build a house, and you want the glass that is going to make it. Where do you see this stuff? Where do you go to the website? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. They can make your conference room look beautiful as well. You need glass. There's one place to go, bluebonnetglass.com, bluebonnetglass.com. Make sure that you tell them you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 97.5-7370-3776. We'll get to Nick Casario's thoughts on the offensive line in just a second. We got some callers. You guys always get in right away. It's the shortest wait times in the history of radio.
Lies.
Right here on ESPN 97.5. First up, it is, who is it? Wants to talk to Joe Mixon?
Will.
Will, that's right. Will, what's up, Will?
Hey, guys. I have a theory on the Mixon situation, just based on the way this thing's played out and some of the context clues we've gotten from Casario and D'Amico. When you think about freak medical conditions that you can have in your foot, I can really only come up with two, and one of them's not really that freak of a condition. So you can have blood clots, but we've seen people announce that before, and I don't think that's what it is. The only other one there is something called necrosis of the foot. And what that is the blood supply gets cut off to a bone in your foot. It can happen anywhere, but it can happen in your foot. And essentially the bone in your foot dies because it lost blood supply. That would be my theory. I can't think of anything else that you would call a freak medical condition in your foot. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Yeah, he did use that terminology. It could be gout.
But did he say freak, or did he just say something that just wasn't getting better?
He said he'd never seen anything like it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well. It was. Have we seen gout amongst any other NFL players?
I don't think he's got gout.
You don't know?
Probably an offensive lineman's had gout. Maybe a defensive, maybe a nose tackle's had gout. I don't know that a running back has had gout.
I know somebody who's really young, in his 20s, he's got gout. Okay?
He's not a big drinker.
Joe Mixon, does he have any Irish blood? I don't know.
I can't speak to that. But he doesn't have an Irish accent. I do know that.
No.
I don't know. I mean, necrosis. As soon as I heard necrosis, I was like, well, this isn't going to be good.
Necrosis?
I heard necrosis, which means death, dead, I knew that that was not going to be favorable. And if that's the case, I think it's safe to assume he's a cap casualty.
Yeah.
If his foot's dead, if the bone in his foot is dead,
necrosis.
My guess is he won't be coming back.
Yikes.
Necrosis.
I don't wish that on anyone. I don't even know what that means, and I don't want it.
No. But I don't know. Will's guess is as good as ours.
It sounds like someone who's in a morgue and they do stuff to.
Why would Joe Mixon and his agent not want anything out? I'm trying to figure that out. Because if you know you're not going to play,
yeah,
just put it out there so people know. And obviously you're treating it because
you got a dead bone in your foot.
Yeah, I don't really care if it lets people know that I'm not jaking. I'm not, I didn't shoot myself on the foot. I didn't have an ATV accident. I didn't do something that was stupid. Why would you want that out there? Joe's heard that too. Why would you want that out there? I don't understand. I'm really struggling to understand why you wouldn't just, why you wouldn't just put it out there about what's been going on. Unless you are going to try to make it back and you want someone else to pay you. But there's physicals. You have to go through a physical. You have to go through the medical process. So it's kind of interesting to me. If you had something that was going to limit your ability to play football moving forward, I would put that out there you know, early on so that I may, I mean, unless you're just trying to string it out and you've got some kind of roster bonus coming up in spring and you want the Texans to believe you can make it back. But I don't think they're falling for that banana in the tailpipe. If they don't think you're, if they, the way that Casario's speaking, any money that's due for any kind of roster bonus or, you know, anything like that, they will get rid of him before that number. So that's the only thing I can think of is they want to string the Texans along. Either he's trying to come back and play and wants to keep collecting that money and playing football, or they're trying to string it along for as long as possible to get to some date to get paid, even though they know he won't be able to play football anymore. I'm just – I don't understand if he can't play football anymore, which it's looking like, I don't know why you wouldn't just say that so you put all the other stuff to bed so people don't think you were, you know, you were irresponsible. That's just the way – that's what doesn't make sense to me.
Yep. I don't know. The whole thing is weird. Chris in the Woodlands is here. Hey, Chris. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, love guys? The love the show. Hey, two comments. One, in no other circumstance would this be okay, like, with how Nick answers. Like, Lance, if you came home at 4 in the morning and Nicole was like, hey, I need to ask you directly where you've been, you wouldn't leave by saying, listen, I'm going to tell you I was not at Treasures. I did not drink too much. Here's what I didn't do. We're just going to leave it at that. Like, there is no circumstance in which his answers are okay. Or, John, if you had to answer. Okay, so there's one. Secondly, I know he hasn't been in Houston for a long time because we've dealt with some freak injuries. We had an outfielder fall through a glass door at spring training. We had a second baseman had anal fascias or whatever you want to call it. We had a middle linebacker that had overworking out syndrome because he worked out too much. I mean, we dealt with some freak stuff. So, yeah, so that's why I don't understand why Nick can't just say, it kind of goes to this pompous attitude. Like, I'm not saying I don't like some of his picks. I think he does okay with some of that stuff. But I don't like the pompous attitude. Like, we're the guys that pay to come watch the game. Like, our star running back, who probably would have allowed us to advance further, isn't there. Like, give us some sort of answer. And to your point, Lance, like, does he never show up to the facility? Do they not know? Like, they got to feel like, hey, it's been 3 months. We haven't seen Joe. Is everything okay? Like, no, his foot's still hurting. He can't make it in today. Like, okay, cool. Let us know when he can make it in. Like, I really don't understand how this is okay responses from our GM. I don't hang up and listen.
Well, immediately after the press, well, as the quotes are coming out, I think Nick Casario said we haven't seen Joe in a while. So we would have to get another examination to actually tell you the progress. So I don't think they've seen Joe Mixon in a good bit.
Yeah, that's not
that's
ideal.
That's a problem, too.
Yeah, but it's still like, it just shows you he's not going to be around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to be around. Joe's last days have passed. I don't know. I think that, you know, when that's fine. I don't really care. He was a one-year guy. He would have been very valuable this year. He never had any chance of playing, obviously. Just move on. Go get one of those other free agents. You go from Mixon to Etienne or Mixon to Javonte or even Mixon to, you know, a second or third round running back. Maybe you go with the third rounder or fourth rounder and you just say, we're just going to roll with this two-headed monster and then we'll get a veteran, a cheap veteran, another Nick Chubb for $1.5, $2 million because you'll be super cheap at running back. You'll have two rookie contracts, and then you can go get a veteran maybe below the group that you're talking about, John, for about $3.5 million, and you got three to take a look at. And you're fine. Chubb, your running back room is going to be inexpensive.
Chubb for $2.5 million. Can Woody Marks be the feature back and have somebody that steps in a little bit, maybe, you know, a little bit better than Nick Chubb has, maybe? Maybe a little bit better.
Yeah,
than
but
Darre
what I'm
has.
Saying is you could draft one and get free agency, and you're still cheap in your running back room.
Yep. All right. What about that offensive line play? Here's Nick Casario addressed the offensive line, which has been a problem, but not as much this year as last year, but still a bit of a problem. Here is Nick Casario on the offensive line.
Eventually, it kind of settled down once Tay was able to kind of settle in at left tackle. Tay played really good football. I'd say he made some young football player mistakes, and there's some things technique-wise that he can certainly improve. You know, we felt once Trent got healthy that Trent would go out there and play pretty good football, and he did. And I'd say, you know, Jake Andrews gave us a good level of play. You know, he probably played, honestly, hurt. He probably played on one leg for about half a year. Which kind of speaks to his toughness. And then Ed, I mean, Ed had a good year. He probably had his best year. He's a free agent, you know, kind of have to see how that goes. So, I mean, overall, it certainly improved. You know, there's always things that we can do better, but we got contributions from everybody. You know, Blake had to go out there and start against the Chargers, played pretty good football. I mean, J-Pat, we've always kind of viewed him as a swing guy, kind of inside, sort of that sixth, seventh offensive lineman. That's kind of the role that he had. So we have some players who will be free agents in that group. We have some players who are under contract for next year. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be some different players in that group next year, but we also have some guys that, you know, under contract that are coming back. So, you know, looking forward to kind of putting that group together. But, I mean, overall, like, they were improved. I think the pass protection was improved, certainly was improved relative to last season. So there's always a combination of factors involved. It's personnel, it's scheme, there's a lot of different things. It's not one particular thing. But overall, that group played, you know, pretty competitive football.
Okay. I mean, you took out of that it was all Jake Andrews' fault?
Well, no, not what he said. I took out of it what people – I've seen other people make comments about that. I was kind of obviously being a little glib, but the toughness of Jake, like, you shouldn't listen to that and then come away with, ooh, I got a new excuse for CJ. His center's hurt. Jake played pretty good football. Yeah. Jake played pretty good football, played hurt. That's favorable. I think obviously Patterson has had playing time. Nick Caserio told you, we view him as a sixth or seventh player. They clearly thought Jake Andrews playing hurt is better than Jarrett Patterson healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I take away from their responses, and I didn't think the center position was like, oh, my God, this guy sucks so bad. Look at him. Another disgraceful rep for Jake Andrews. I never came away from the season thinking that.
No.
You know, I never saw him spotlighted a whole lot with making big mistakes.
His last impression wasn't great. Maybe that's why some of the chatter started, because of what the Patriots did to him. So, but overall, I would agree.
By the end of the year, it probably was an issue. Maybe that's fair if you thought that if he's so beat up by the end of the year, maybe you replace him. You know, maybe that's fair. Maybe I'm being unfair, but that's okay. I mean, Jake Andrews isn't as good as it gets at center, so. You know, there's a guy from Kansas State named Sam Hecht who I think is fantastic. And he's not the biggest guy, but he's really strong. I think maybe he's a third rounder. You know, for me, you could draft him and you'd immediately upgrade. You could get the guard from Oregon or Penn State and immediately upgrade. You could have two new starters on the offensive line with two of your picks that are in the top, you know, 100. And your offensive line is much better right off the bat. Now, the Nick Caserio, do you have the answer about – he was asking a question about offense. I think Sarge may have asked
Yeah, we got that. But let's break, and we'll do that on the other side. Right. Nick Caserio talked about –
I didn't like that. I'll just tell you now. I didn't like this answer.
No. It was interesting. Let's take a quick break. We'll hear from – Nick Caserio. We got no problem. I don't know what you guys are looking at, but we got no problems here. I've got no problem with one guy, Kent Jones. As a matter of fact, you know, you probably bought your house at a time when interest rates were really high, and you just sucked it up. Oh, well, you know what? Really high. What are we going to do? Well, you know what you can do? You can put a call into Kent. Kent Jones, you tell him, just contact me. Here's my interest rate when you think I should lock in, because – he's got a pin. No one knows this business better than this guy, because he's been doing it for 30 years, okay? He's saved hundreds and literally hundreds of thousands of dollars for people, hundreds, for all the people over the years. Are you kidding me? It could be way more than that. So dude knows, and he can give you great advice. But he can't give you the advice if you don't contact him and tell him your number. And when he feels like, hey, you can make a move, make the move. Or you could call him and say, hey, we got this much down. We're looking at this house. What do you think it's going to cost? At what kind of loan can I get? He can give you the advice that you need, okay? And when you deal with brokers, you're doing it better. Not in every business. In this business, yes. In this business, in a mortgage business, when you deal with Kent Jones, you have a chance to save tens of thousands of dollars. So don't do it yourself. Let Kent Jones do it. No matter what your question is about mortgages, You call him because he has got the answer. 713-520-LOAN, 713-520-5626, or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473. Jake and Jones, NMLS number 356118, equal housing lender.
ESPN 97.5.